thank you, Lord, for your word, God. We thank you for the truth, God, that you've given to us, God. We thank you for the sacrifice that your son has made on the cross, God. And that all these things, God, are provided for us, God, to bring us and draw us closer to you, God, to ultimately where we can be in your presence all the time, God, as your children, God. So, Lord, I thank you, God, for what you've provided for us today, God. I thank you for coming and being with us today, God. And we just give you this day, God. We ask you to open our hearts and soften them, Father, so that we may receive, God, what you have given to all of us today through your word. In Jesus' name, and all God's people say, amen. Amen. Good. Praise God. So, today, the title of this message is called Waiting for Sons. How many sons are there? Now, if you are a person, okay, and you are here today, you're qualified as a son or daughter because you had to be here through that process. You didn't come here any other way, I promise you. There's no sciences there that have given us the ability to do that yet. But before we get into that, I have a bit of a bugaboo with something that's been bothering me. And I want to see if everybody else shares the same pain and agony I do. How many people enjoy lines? A line. Like a line at the grocery store. How many people love that? Like I'm like you get in there and it's just packed and you get all your groceries in there and then you get and you're like, all right, I gotta get home and I gotta cook dinner and it's like 5:30 and you're like, I gotta get dinner on the stove and get it ready because I want dinner ready by 6 and you get there and there's like a mile of traffic at the register and they're like, they have like 22 registers but like only 4 are open and there's like lines going around the whole thing, right? You ever, like how many people have that like you just like, you get so red in the face and it's not like anger, like you want to go like yell at somebody, but it's just like, ah, this is frustrating, right? Yeah, I don't like lines. I hate them. I actually loathe them. But believe it or not, this is a concept and an invention that man created. Okay. So you can blame yourselves. Okay. It's your fault that I got to suffer in lines. I hate them, but God didn't create this, right? God didn't create a line. He didn't make us wait for anything, right? He didn't create a line. See, what is the point of the line? The line is man's way to bring order into chaos, right? Because could you imagine if there was no lines at the shopping center? OMG. That would be crazy. Like, I mean, people, I mean, I've seen, there's a story we can talk about later with Irene in the parking lot. But, you know, like, but I can imagine that being every day. Like, people just getting their purses and just, like, whacking people out of lines, you know, or whatever. Just getting, like, it's like a blitzkrieg to get to the register first, right? But the line is there to bring order into chaos. But it's a problem. Nonetheless, because out of that, you now have to wait. So this is my dilemma. Right? We've created this system through a line to try to bring order to chaos. But in reality, the end result is there's now a wait that we have to go through. All right? And you're probably going, well, what's your point? Where are you getting at? Well, let's think about that. Why are we waiting to do the things that God wants us to do? Why are we waiting? Is there a reason why we're waiting in line? Are we just conditioned to wait our turn, to wait in line, because we feel, oh, well, that's the protocol. Well, that's man's protocol. But that's not God's. That's not what God says. So what we're going to do is turn to Romans 8th chapter, verse 19. And in this particular case, we're going to read from the Amplified Version, which Ken's going to put up there for us so that we can see it all together in big, bright letters. And it says, "For even the whole creation, all nature, waits expectantly and longs earnestly for God's sons to be made known, waits for the revealing, the disclosing of their sonship." Other translations is the whole world moans and groans waiting for the sons to be revealed. The world is waiting for sons and daughters of God to be revealed. Basically, long story short, for all you people that said how much you hate lines, you're making a bunch of people wait in line. You are. Because you said you're a son or a daughter. And yet the whole world is waiting for you to be revealed. Dilemma. So the question then you have to ask is, well, maybe the sons and daughters haven't been revealed yet. Right? Maybe they haven't been revealed. Maybe we're still in that process, right? Tends to be like, oh, there's all these processes, right? We have processes for this and processes for that, right? There's a process. Well, I have to go through a process. Or you're hiding. See, I don't look at it that way. I don't see it as a process. You either are or you are not. So, are you revealed or are you hiding? 1 Peter, Ken. Now, I'm going to challenge everybody here. Just read all of 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm only giving you a small little snippet, but please read the whole 1 Peter 1. Because that will make all of this message so much more clear and give you a lot of context. But I just don't want to spend so much time just reading through a whole chapter of, chapter of 1 Peter. So I just don't want to do that. But anyway, starting at verse 3 and going on to verse 5 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you." Note this, "who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed when? In the last time." So now we have a dilemma, because now we see, oh wait a minute, there's a moniker. There's a point in time where the sons and daughters are going to be revealed. When? Last time. Can somebody tell me when the last time is? How do you know this? Or now. How do we know that now is the last time? I could go through scripture and show you, but I'd rather let you do that, because that's more fun. Be a Berean. Go find out. The correct answer is yes. We're in that last days period. There's so much that confirms that we are here now through God's word. So if we know that we're in the last times, then that means then what has been revealed? Sons and daughters have been revealed. So that means you have been revealed. You have been made known to the world. The world knows you exist. So if they're not finding you, is it because you're hiding or is it because you're sitting out there and you're making yourself known? Now you might be like, well, wait a minute, you're making this about you and me and this and stuff and other. Isn't it supposed to be about Jesus? It is. It's about Jesus in you. Because he's who makes you a son and daughter. It's through his blood. That's all in here. That's why I want you to read 1 Peter. Okay? Because it's all there. He tells you every single ounce about who he is and who he is to you and how he needs to come out of you. But the only way he comes out of you is if you recognize that you've been revealed as a son and a daughter. Now, what else is there, right? There's more, okay? We've been imbued with the Spirit of God, right, who dwells within me for other things, not just to just be here and exist, right? He's given us the ability to edify the saints through fivefold, right? Is that not part of this being revealed? Have we not been revealed to actually build up the body of Christ? Yes? I'm not hearing a lot of talking today. You guys are quiet for some reason. I don't know what's going on in there. And then we even have in here, it talks about through faith for salvation. Through the gospel message. Are you sharing the gospel message of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ to the world? Are you? Or are you making people wait in a line that you so loathe and hate? And then we even have in there about the moans and groans of the world. Last time I checked, moans and groans isn't really a positive thing, right? Moaning and groaning is usually, you know, associated with people that are not having a good time. They're suffering. Think about it, guys. Think about it. Just kind of put your, like, Wayback Machine on and go back to BC, right? And where you were. And you thought the world was built for you. And it was all about you. And how much you had. And how much you did. And what you earned. And how you built your little fiefdom. And you built your kingdom up. Yeah, that's all great. But in the inside of you, you were moaning and groaning and suffering inside. Because you were dying inside. You could have all the riches and the wealth in the world, but inside you're hollow and empty. That's the moans and groans that are also going around your neighbors, your best friends, your neighbor's neighbor, down the street, three blocks to the right, whoever it is. If they don't know Jesus Christ, guess what? Moaning and groaning inside. And you actually have the answer, right? You have the cure to the moaning and the groaning and the suffering. Who? Come on. Jesus. Amen. All right? So if you go through and you read through all 1 Peter, you'll get a bigger picture. And I want you to do that. That's kind of like homework. I'm a believer in that. I had to read it all already. But in there is the formula for building yourself up. Through faith, through reading the word, building yourself up and encouraging yourself through the edification of the saints, okay? Building one another up. All those things are meant for someone else. It's not meant for you. You have salvation through Christ Jesus. Amen? Right? What is it good for? Yes, it gives you that freedom. You're released. You're free. That's awesome. The shackles were cut off so you can go. And set someone else free. Not hide. And make everybody suffer in a line. Think about this. Just kind of sit there for a minute. Okay? So, here we are. Now we're at the point where we got to make a decision. Right? We've recognized we've been revealed. We recognize that, you know, we've been imbued with all this. And we know that we have these great and wonderful things that God's given to us and poured out into us. And if you read through all 1 Peter, you'll understand all that stuff is there. And it dwells within you. That's great. But what about actually stepping into the role? What does it mean to become a son or to become a daughter? What does it mean? What is that all for? Because he didn't just say, oh, you're my servants. Did he? He didn't make you slaves. He didn't make you indentured servants. He didn't put you with the cattle. Who did he make you? He sat you in a specific spot in a specific location. Where? Right next to the Father. You have the DNA of the Son dwelling within you, which gives you that tie to the Father. You are a son. You are a daughter. Amen? So Romans 8, 14 through 17. Now we're going back. Okay? And this is the amplified version. Ken, thank you. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are what? Pause. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons or daughters of God. That means you just met a prerequisite to being a son and a daughter. You have to be what? You gotta be led. You have to be led by the Spirit, okay? That basically means two things. One, whose will is it in your life? It cannot be your will. Because then you are not being led by the Spirit. You're being led by you. So you got to surrender your will to His will. That could be tough. But I didn't say this message was easy. I just simply said it's God's word and I'm going to give you the truth that God had given to me. All right? The second thing is it's going to cost you one more thing. You're going to have to actually put to death your pride. Ooh, wait a minute. Ow. Step on a toe. I'm Yes, you have to put to death your pride. Why? Because your pride will interrupt every single stage of growth from that point forward. Because you are going to continue to think it's got to be done by your standards, not by God's standards. Now, I know they kind of go hand in hand, but take a minute and just think about the difference. Your will is different, but your pride will get in the way. You could be all gung-ho. Yeah, Lord, I'm going to surrender my will to yours. I'm going to surrender my will to yours. And then you're going to be at that moment of opportunity where you got to do that, and your pride's going to jump up and go, well, I don't know about that. You know, I'm a man's man. You know, I got to do this, blah, 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 blah. Whoop. You hit the ground. Try again. That's not his will. See, his will actually means you're going to change. You can't stay the same and be a son or daughter of God. You can't. So you might as well get used to dying of all of your aspects and things that you think are the way you need to do it. Just get rid of it all. It's easier that way. It's like a Band-Aid. How many people try to pull a Band-Aid off real slow? You're like sadist, okay? I mean, that hurts. That's painful. Don't do it. Just rip it. It's easier. Yeah, you'll lose hair. It's fine. It'll grow back. But truthfully, just do it all at once. Just done. Get rid of it all. Stop holding on to the little pieces of you that want to stick around just to make your life more miserable and more difficult for God to do things in. Why? What good is it? It's just going to die anyway. Get rid of it now. Do it all at once. Clean slate. You're done. Band-Aid pulled off. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, look, you didn't even have an injury. Because God healed it. Why do you have a Band-Aid on? I don't know why. 15. We didn't even finish. I'm sorry. We got to keep going, right? For the spirit which you have now received is not a spirit of slavery to put you once more in bondage to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, the spirit producing sonship in the bliss of which we cry, Abba, Father. I mean, that right there, I could just stop and just let that just eviscerate everything. But there's some things that people struggle with. And so here we go, right? We get a dilemma. There's two types of people that are here in verse 15. There's people that are enslaved and people that understand the concept of what it means to be adopted. If you are stuck in an area in your life where you still believe that you're a slave, you're just waiting to be given orders. You're waiting to be told what to do. If you understand what you have gained through the spirit of adoption, and you understand who your father is, you understand the concept of what? Inheritance. Which means you inherited not just a title, but you inherited a kingdom. You inherited everything that belongs to the Father is yours. Everything. Everything. Think about that. Why is this so pertinent? Because there's too many people that come to church, get saved, get set free from all their bondage, right? They go, yeah, Jesus set me free. Woo-hoo, I'm free. Yeah, me and Jesus, we're good. Yeah, awesome. Great. Fantastic. That's great. Okay, cool. I'm happy for you. Now what? Well, I don't know. And then they give you a laundry list of stuff that's still going on in your life that you're still attached to. And what it is it's actually a spirit of what? Bondage. That's fear. That is fear. Okay? So there are people that actually get saved by Jesus and still live in fear. Because they're afraid. What are you afraid of? Are you afraid of what's going to happen? Are you afraid of what's next? What are you afraid of? It doesn't matter. But you have not fully received the spirit of sonship. You have not fully embraced what that adoption means. I'll tell you something. Go to a shelter, okay? An actual child shelter. You can do pets too. It's fine. They're the same. Kind of. Not really. But at the early stages, they're kind of the same. And you go into the shelter. I'll use dogs and cats. That's fine. It's easier. And you go in there, and you go, and you're like, oh, man, I just want to get a nice puppy. You know, they're so cute and lovable, right? Who doesn't love a puppy or a kitty, whatever? And you go in there, and you are like sucker written on your forehead. And the second you walk in the door and you've made the determination that you're coming in there to get a pet, they smell it on you. They smell it. And you walk in and they're like, hmm. And you're like, oh my God, they're so cute. And you fall in love right from the door. But guess what? Think about that pet. Think about that animal. Where were they before you came in the door? They were locked up in a cage. Probably moderately taken care of well-ish, depending on the shelter. And you've given them the world. You've given them every acre of your home. If you have a cat, you know what that means. Because guess what? You can't say no, because cat goes, my house. Got dog, they're like, I'm sorry. But you've given them everything. You've given them all of your land. Think about that. How grateful are they? They're so grateful that they can bend over backwards for you. And I know that seems weird, but in cat world, I relate to a cat. Like, that cat will go venture out into the wilderness, and he will find that mole that's been digging up your ground, and he will go bleh, at your doorstep and go, look for you. Because he loves you and he respects what you have taken him from. Does this make sense? And if you can do it in kids too, because kids that you take out of a shelter and you adopt, they love you more than you could possibly imagine because of what you've taken them out of. You've rescued them. You've given them a home. You've given them a name. You've given them something worth living for. That is too great to be even measured or carried, right? And yet here we are, living in fear and in bondage, because we just don't want to embrace the idea that, oh, God loves me in spite of, that he took me out of my stuff and gave me all of his belongings, all of his wealth, all of his riches, all of his livelihood. Think about it. Just think about it. Because God's that good. We talked about that. We sung that today, right? Amen? Amen? His goodness? Alright, 16. This is where stuff gets good. The Spirit himself thus does what? Testifies together with our own spirit, assuring us that we are what? Is that it, Ken? I think that's it, right? Yeah. Alright, and then we'll keep it right there. So think about that. How awesome is that? Not only does he do all those things, right? For the doubtful person in the room, he goes, guess what? Yes, it's all true. Yes, I did that for you. Yes, you are my child. Yes, you are my daughter and my son. Yes, I testify of you. That you are this. He reaffirms what he has done and what he has given to you over and over and over and over and over again, just in case you forget. The Holy Spirit comes not just as an intercessor, but through the Holy Spirit, that confirmation is constant. Think about that. Constant touch, constant contact, constant download from the Father of who you are and what you have been given and what he expects from you and how much he loves you and how much he sings over you and how much he dances with you. Get this, guys. Guess what I didn't say? How terribly angry he is with you. How ashamed he is of you. How much you have brought in such a shame to his name. That's not what he's saying. Because if you're hearing that, that's not God. That's not God. Hear me clearly. That's not God. Because that's not him. That's not in his character. I don't see it. You can't find it. So if you're hearing that, that's not him testifying of you. Does God chastise his children? Absolutely. But how does he chastise? In love. You want to know what chastisement in God's eyes look like? Go read the prodigal son. Okay? That's how he chastises, okay? Yeah. Truth. 17. And if we are his children, then we are his what? Heirs, not hairs. That's weird. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, sharing his inheritance with him. Only we must share his suffering if we are to share his glory. Now, this is where it gets really good. Okay? So, basics. Simple stuff, right? If we're son and he's king, that means we are inheritance to the kingdom and the throne. There you go. Very good. Right? Okay? We're heirs to the throne. But he's never going to die, so it's not like you're going to kick him off of it. Okay? God's eternal, so you can't wait for him to die to take the throne. But you always are honored as an heir to the throne. And if you're not sure what that looks like, do some research on kings and, you know, princes and royalty and all that stuff, and see how elevated and high the sons of the king are treated. Not because the king's dead or going to die or sick or whatever, but because they're known to eventually take over the throne. So they are equally as protected and treasured and honored and given all those same things because lineage, passing on, right? Okay. But it's about your position. Where is that person who's the next heir to the throne seated? Right next to him. Right? So you're seated at a very high position, guys. Okay? And all that comes through that process of being in a line, waiting for someone to come over to you and say, why are you waiting in this line? Come with me. We're going to get into the fast lane. Here, look. Your throne. Huh? What? Wait a minute. Really? Yes, really. That simple. But what's the catch? We share. We share in all things. When one hurts, how many hurt? That's right. So what we have to then think about now is a little bit of this moans and groans and the suffering, right? And get our heads translated from a position of, oh, well, they're ignorant. They don't care. They don't want to know about Jesus, and recognize them the way God recognizes them. How's he see them? Sons and daughters that are just stuck in line, waiting for someone like you to come and go, hey, why are you waiting in line? Why are you still standing here? You don't have to wait. There's no reason. Why are you suffering? Why are you moaning and groaning? Why are you complaining all the time? Life doesn't stink. It's not terrible. It doesn't have bad things in it. Why are you in that? Come sit down. Let's talk. I'm going to tell you about a friend of mine. Jesus. For our Spanish brethren. Amen. So we talk about sonship, but here's what it really boils down to, guys. There's a lineage. There is a honor and a distinct lineage that is passed down. And for you guys that have kids, you maybe understand this a little bit more. Right? Why do fathers prize sons so much? Because they can pass the name on, right? I have someone to pass the name on. The garlic name goes on. Woo, yes. I accomplished something. Maybe. I don't know. Is it an accomplishment? I really don't know. But, I mean, I'm just saying. Because blood's blood, right? We're all red people. Amen? It really doesn't matter. My last name could change tomorrow. I don't know. But the importance of us recognizing that you have been revealed is tremendously important to the current status of this world today. I cannot stress it enough. How many people can put their hand up and say, man, oh man, what is going on in the world today is just a travesty? And I'm not talking about the tragedies alone. I'm talking about just all the junk, the garbage. I mean, I literally can't stand even turning on the TV anymore because it's just one thing after another. And just nothing positive. Where are we? Why aren't we on the news? Why are we shy and hidden in the backs and the dark recesses of the corners of the world, not making noise, not standing up, not shouting, not doing something about it? I hear a lot of bellyaching and complaining about the schools. Why are we not doing something about it? Because that's what Sons and Daughters Being Revealed looks like. Standing up for what's truth. Not allowing blasphemers to come in and put God's name down. You don't like what's going on in the schools? Do something about it. You don't like what's going on in the political hemisphere? Do something about it. Speak up. Be revealed. Be present. Was there consequences to that? Sure. Wasn't there consequences to Jesus when he spoke up? Why should we be treated any different? That's how you're here. That's why you are a son and a daughter. Because of him speaking up and standing up for what was right, regardless of what every single person in that current time period said otherwise. Because a religious spirit had kept people captive and captivated with all these cool things. And Jesus came in and said, whoa, 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 whoa. That's not God. That's not my Father. Blasphemer. Well, the truth is in the end result. Who rose? Who conquered the grave? I rest my case, or he rests his case. In that case, I don't even have to stand up for that. So where are you at? The challenge today, guys, is seriously, where are you? You've been revealed. We've debunked that. You are, if you're not in that present state of, well, yeah, I guess I'm revealed, but I don't know what to do, well, then you're hiding. You're hiding. You're waiting for somebody else to pick it up for you. You're waiting for somebody else to stand up and lead the charge. I don't know where that is in scripture, but guess what? You have the same power as everybody else here. Pastor doesn't have to jump up and lead the riot in the schools. Not saying riot, but seriously. If you're waiting for him to do it, you're going to wait for a long time. Because that's not his fight. But if God put it in your heart to go stand up and make his presence known, guess what you should be doing? Making your presence known. You've been revealed. It's time to stand up and do something about it. That's what the sons and daughters being revealed is about. So guess what? We can hear all today agree. Is the world waiting for you? Are they waiting in a long, arduous line, waiting for you to show up and do something? Are we going to stand up and do something? Stand up. That's it. Ain't nothing more to it. I mean, literally, no, that's it. I got nothing else. That's the end of the message. Amen. Amen. But you're all standing anyway, so you can join me in prayer. Amen? Amen. Father God, Lord, I thank you, God, for your word, God. I thank you, God, that it does provoke us, God. That it challenges us, God. That it continues to just push us and drive us forward, God, into your nature, God. It continues to change our hearts, God, so that our inward living being, God, of who you are to us, God, can become more and more revealed outside of our life, God. Through our everyday efforts, God, through our work, God, through our travels, God, through every person we come in contact with, God, let you become more magnified out of us this day, God. Let us no longer hold on to the fear, God. Let us no longer listen to the liar and the deceiver, God, that tells us anything other than who you are to us, God, and what you want to come out from us, God. Let us continue to just hear, God, you testify over us, God, of how you are our Father, God, how you have given us all of your kingdom, God, how you poured out in abundance, God, every gift, every blessing, God, everything that we need, God, to go and see those who are moaning and groaning, God, and the suffering, God, waiting for us to stand up and just say, here I am, God, send me, Lord, I'm here. So Lord, as you continue to navigate our hearts, God, as you continue to just continue to press through those hardened areas, God, in our lives, God, Let us become those who are completely surrendered to you, God. Let us sacrifice our will, God. Let us no longer hold on to our identities, God, and our pride and our egos, God. But let us be fully prepared to put to death anything, God, that stands in any way, shape, or form against you continuing to reign on high, God. Because you are King, God. You are Abba Father, God. You love us. You've given us everything, God. You've given us the keys to the kingdom, God. And so, Lord, let us take those keys and go unlock hearts that are in captivity, God, through your Son, Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.